The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Lisa Dunster, returning vet from the Gulf War, a founder and CEO of Compass Retreat Center, and our topic tonight is veteran suicide and moral injury. That's M-O-R-A-L, moral injury, a very important topic that we're going to cover. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week is some interesting information about making our immune systems healthier. This comes to us from Health Magazine, the March 2013 issue. How do you build up your immune system, you might ask? Well, we can do so in many different ways. First and foremost, by adding protein to our diet. Many people whose immune systems are compromised may not be intaking enough protein. And that's really a foundational building block nutrition-wise. We also need to eat fruits and vegetables, the colorful fruits and vegetables that contain antioxidants. Drinking orange juice or citrus juices that contain vitamin C can also help build the immune system. Using zinc lozenges right around the time of a cold, not all the time, but maybe just for a day or two. You can purchase zinc acetate or zinc gluconate, and you take the lozenge, or you use the lozenge, if you will, every couple of hours, up to six, just while symptoms last, and then you stop. You can actually eat chicken soup. Chicken noodle soup is actually not an old wives' tale. It's a staple that can help relieve the symptoms of a cold, reducing its duration and its impact, believe it or not. And that comes from a study from the University of Nebraska. And finally, more Z's. You need more sleep because your immune system actually releases healthy proteins called cytokines that combat infection while you sleep. So get that shut eye and let yourself rest to prevent future sniffles and sickness. Great tips to build your immune system. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Lisa Dunster is the founder and president of the Compass Retreat Center, a not-for-profit organization which provides innovative retreat settings for veterans and those who love them to assist in healing, reconnecting, and thriving back in civilian life. In 1987 through 99, Lisa was a specialist in the Ohio Army National Guard. And from 1990 to 1991, she was in the Ohio Army National Guard and in the Gulf War and stationed in Saudi Arabia, and so now is a veteran from that experience as well. And so she speaks to us on a very personal level tonight about a topics that are very near and dear to her heart, moral injury and veteran suicide. Welcome, Lisa, to Your Holistic Health. Well, briefly, please, tell us about your military background and what led you to the incredible desire to build up this Compass Retreat Center for others like yourself returning.
We pretty much shared my military background. I got involved in, signed up to be a member of the Ohio Army National Guard in 1987 as a way to pay for college. And it was a great way to get school paid for, but like all great things, there are some things that usually get attached to that. And so right after graduation is when I served in the first Gulf War. And I call that period of time for myself kind of my sick romance with the military began then. What happened was I could see that there were some issues of how to reintegrate as a family after you've served in war. My husband and I were married. We didn't have children at the time, but certainly he was here and I was serving overseas. And so just recognizing kind of over that next 10-year period, all the way up until 9/11, what came home with me and the aggression and what my husband had to learn to live with and what I had to learn to deal with and move forward with, and how that really played a big part in our relationship, much more so than I probably would have expected when I returned home. So when 9/11 hit, I was a high school teacher, and looked at my husband that evening. He got home very late because he works in media as well, and I said, we've got to do something different for this generation of military veterans and their families, or we're gonna lose way more than we lost when I served. And he thought that I meant numbers that might die in the war, and I said, no, it's when you come home. It's the injury that happens when you get back and the disruption that it brings to families. So that really became kind of the beginnings of intentional conversations. And from 2001 to 2008, it was all talk. Everybody that would listen to me, I'd be like, well, why do we think they should be able to just come home and it's better? And then recently I heard a quote, I believe Tyler Boudreau, who is a military service member who has received several high honors, he even came back and quoted, I heard him say, you cannot find the truth in war unless you're willing to find the truth in yourself. And so As I see that being true now for this generation, I really think God kind of just put me in a place to have had some experience that could relate and understand, and then just this incredible desire on my heart. So it became a complete calling, I would say, to really look at how do we help families rebuild, reconnect? How do we help service members who are single rebuild and reconnect when they come home? Because it's not as natural, I think, as maybe the public impression would be that you're home and it's all better. There was another quote that I heard that said, war is the portal to hell. Coming home is hell. And I thought, that's not what God desires for us, is to feel like coming home is worse. Coming home just has to be a place where we can help equip one another better so that we can find healing and wholeness and wellness. So that's kind of the catalyst of Compass really getting its beginnings in 2009.
I love it. Now, let's get into, because I know that you're a Christian, and I think this is another layer of discussion in terms of spiritual injury, and that lends itself very nicely into the moral injury discussion.
Right.
Now, most people, I think, understand post-traumatic stress syndrome as an emotional and physical issue, and many times spiritual, but I'm guessing a lot of people do not understand moral injury, and I want to tee this up with scripture and offer hope all the way through this interview tonight. And this first scripture is from John 10:10, and I quote, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly," end quote.
Amen.
So what is moral injury, and what did you learn in Fort Worth, Texas about it?
Moral injury is a disruption in an individual's confidence and expectations about his or her own moral behavior. Or it can also be about the other's capacity to behave in a just or ethical manner. So something happens where you lose trust, maybe as an individual, in your own capacity to do the right thing. Usually your moral, we'll use compass as the best way for me to describe that. Your moral compass is really established and taught as you grow. And so there, you know, we live in a culture that says you shouldn't kill one another. We live in a culture that says that we are careful, particular, even in rules of engagement with war, we live with a compass that says you don't harm children, you don't harm elderly, you don't harm women. And so there are all kinds of things that are taught to us both culturally and even biblically. You know, the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill. So that we have been raised to believe are true. And in a civilized society, those things are cherished and held up to and a part of who we are and what we are. But when you go to war, you obviously know that there's a great risk that you're going to have to violate some of those things that you maybe came to believe as truths, and some of those core beliefs that you have within yourself. And it may not be so hard to act on those if you feel like it's defense or it is necessary. But then there are instances where it does not feel necessary. An example I can think of is there was a service member who was on guard, and he's a service member who suffers with moral injury today. And he was told they were engaged, his unit was engaged in a battle with insurgents, and he was the lookout towards another direction to make sure that more were not going to come upon them. And he was, you know, ordered that if someone approaches, engage them. And so he saw kids on a motorbike, and his first inclination is they're kids. And then he sees them holding something in their hands pointing towards them, and then he sees something flash. And so although he was not the one who fired, someone else did be in honor of that order. And they later learned that they were just two teenage boys who had some sticks actually in their hands, not a weapon, and that the flash that they saw was probably some of the metal off of the chrome on the bike. But you're in a life or death situation on the other side of you, and you've got split seconds to make those decisions, but you have a lifetime to live with those decisions. And so that became a moral injury for this particular service member of, they were kids. They were being kids. And the conflict really springs from wrong place at the wrong time, and split-second decisions and choices had to be made, and then how do I go forward living with that choice? And what I like about the verse that you shared, you know, is that God will walk us through that. He'll give us the ability to persevere and to move through that. But you can see that those are hard things, and it's not as simple as we had to. There was discrimination that had to happen, but then we still sometimes have made wrong choices, not meaning to harm, but also having to think about how do we protect life of the people that we serve with.
Yes. Well, Lisa, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to explore the notion of suicide in the military as a result of not being able to resolve, perhaps for a lifetime, some of these injuries that affect our spirit as Christians and beyond. So if you're just listening, we are on a broadcast of Your Holistic Health. on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. Tonight, we have the pleasure of talking with Lisa Dunster about veteran suicide and moral injury. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. Our guest this evening is Lisa Dunster of Compass Retreat Center. So, Lisa, before the break, we just sort of introduced the notion of suicide in the military as a result of perhaps the actions that take place, violating one's conscience, which in a civilian sense teaches us through the Ten Commandments or just our moral code not to harm, not to kill. Worse yet, perhaps even if you didn't pull the trigger, to have to watch the atrocities of war and to come home and try to be just the same person that you were before, which seems literally impossible on right. on all levels, as you've shared with me many times in the past. Yet I suspect that if there is more suicide in the military, this is a silent problem and needs more exposure. So I'm asking you tonight, what is your thought on that since you've seen it firsthand?
You know, I think moral injury is probably a huge piece, a huge factor in the suicide rate climbing so high. That being said, it is still also the thing that is not really being talked about or discussed so much because it's not really a medical issue. I think you could really say this is a spiritual issue. And so one of the things I would encourage people who might be listening or who have friends who have served or whatever, and if you think that this is something that's a concern for someone you know, I would say, as a battle buddy myself, I have a moral obligation also to encourage them to talk about that. And that is probably the best way that right now we know to help in this healing process for moral injury. And I am happy to say that this generation of service members is starting to open up more than prior generations have, which I think is a very healthy thing. Now, one would think, okay, but then the suicide rate is climbing, so how does that make sense? It's not a perfect science by any scope of the imagination. As a matter of fact, there was a psychologist just at the beginning of this year who couldn't handle it any longer himself, having heard all of the stories and succumbed to suicide himself, which I would say, again, is probably related to hearing all of that and trying to resolve it all. I think faith communities can surround service members in a really healthy, positive way. The only way that I know to really heal from this is through the grace of God. In Psalm 34, verse 4, it says, God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Psalm 56 says, when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you and God, whose word I praise. Well, I may come home and have certainly be angry about the experience that I had, and I may even be angry at God when I come home. And if the church also then if their response is more one of, I don't know what to do, or I don't really know what to say in these conversations, or I don't know what to do with the whole thou shalt not kill and you've been to war, whatever, then the church, I think, is missing the fact that Jesus has loved them. And so if we could, as Christians, reach out in love and show them grace and create a space where veterans of prior wars could even meet with these veterans of these present wars, I think we would create a new healing arm that could actually help with this understanding of moral injury. I think Jesus knows full well that experience. I think God knows full well that experience. It had to feel, I don't even know that I can put words to how it must have felt to be Jesus on the cross and hear people hurling out words of anger and harm and all of that, even when he was in the midst of so much suffering. And as his human experience, he had to have experienced some moral injury at what culture was creating for him, even in his own death.
I agree.
And so as I think about that, I think about what service members have in common with God and with Jesus Christ. And that if we could, as Christians who don't understand that because we haven't served or we haven't been in war, and that's a beautiful thing. I'm grateful that not everyone has had that experience. But if we could reach out in love and grace and say, wow, you know a part of God's heart that we don't even begin to understand, but we want this church or this building or this family of Christ to be a place where you can come and know that you can talk about that, and that there will be people here who will love you. And if you can pull veterans within a church community to reach out to other veterans, it's not as shocking for the other veterans to hear those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of this happens informally. I'm reminded of my father, who served in World War II back in the day. In later life, I noticed when he was walking the mall, he always seemed to find a veteran or two. When he went to the VFW Friday night fish fry, he always seemed to find a veteran or two, and that was a safe place for him to talk about his horrors of war. He did not share that with our family. He told us he would not.
Yeah.
And in his day, he would have been 90-something now, you know, that was taboo. You did not speak about, nor was
right.
there really, I think, any kind of decent government effort afoot to help them heal. You just sucked it up and moved on. But I can guarantee you that he was never the same. We talked about it as a family. Mm-hmm. We didn't know the term post-traumatic stress, but
right.
he dealt with, as did his brother and many from that generation, you know, those horrors that you know in your heart and that you have seen personally. Let's talk about now, Lisa, forgiveness. And I want to try and end on a positive note tonight as
Absolutely.
We wrap up our show. And let's do that again with scripture, please. And this one's from Colossians 1, verses 13, 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Does Jesus forgive someone who has killed another in battle, or who has taken his or her own life after war?
I can only believe the God, the Jesus that I know, the God that I love, does forgive. That He can see and understand that pain better than any of us, and is so open and so ready to say, my son, my daughter, you know, I'm right here. I'll walk beside you. I'll walk with you. I'll be in front when you need a shield. I'll be behind, encouraging you to go forward when you can go on your own. I will stand with you. Through all of that, that is the Jesus that I serve. That's the God that I know in my heart of hearts. And, you know, forgiveness is there for everyone. And I think that is one of the things that I have been so blessed to have opportunity to share, is that God is big enough for whatever we have been a part of as humans. His love is big enough. His forgiveness is big enough. His the depth of his care and understanding is big enough. I think we have to, I think God waits for us to take the step. You know, the invitation is there. He says, knock on the door, and I will open it. Seek, and you will find. He is ready. And that's why I think even if you come home with anger towards God, if you start that dialogue, if you start those conversations with God, he's thrilled that there's dialogue. He can take the yelling if that's how it comes. He can take the tears if that's how it comes. And he will be there to celebrate with you when you come to realize that he can take that and carry that for you.
Amen.
And that you don't need to. So absolutely, forgiveness is key. And part of that is not only giving it to God, but in doing so, forgiving yourself and saying, there are pieces of what everyone does in war that really are orders.
Yeah, obviously you can't just do what you want and pick and choose.
Right.
I certainly appreciate that.
I would say the majority of time, even maybe, meant with the best of intention, that sometimes end up in a really detrimental space, and leave us walking away feeling somewhat empty, somewhat broken, somewhat confused by it all. But God's big enough. You know, his love is deeper and wider than anything that we've experienced. And I would encourage folks, you know, start with what you have in common. Don't feel like you can only approach God in the way that maybe you were taught as a child or taught as an adult or taught at church. God says, come to me, you know, share it with me. Let me carry your burden.
I love it. And Lisa, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
we're all
fine.
Out of time here. So let me just say, I agree with you. I support what you're saying. I think what you're doing with the Compass Retreat Center is absolutely phenomenal and a wonderful start. I hope it takes off across the country with more than just this local sort of pilot and beginning. With many vets, and that they find you and seek you out in the work that you're doing, which includes complementary and alternative medicine opportunities. Give us an email real quick, and then we're going to have to sign off, please.
If anybody would like to talk to me more about it, it's lisa.dunster, D-U-N as in Nancy, S-T-E-R, at compassretreatcenter.org. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to share information with you if you need information about us or about some of the things that I shared tonight.
God bless you, Lisa.
Thank you.
I'd like to wrap up our show with the quote of the week, and this is by Theodore Roosevelt, and I quote, "Here is your country. Cherish these natural wonders. Cherish the natural resources. Cherish the history and romance as a sacred heritage for your children and your children's children's. Do not let selfish men or greedy interests skin your country of its beauty, its riches, or its romance." Thanks again to Lisa Dunster for being a wonderful guest with us tonight, talking about moral injury, a topic that needs more elaboration, and we'll have to have you back again some other time when we can get into this very important topic. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. And you are invited to join us next week at this very same time to hear James Stewart talk about his personal health journey from hopelessness to hope on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m. on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.